Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome, everyone. 3:02 on this beautiful Friday in Eastern Iowa. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann. Today, as we complete the week, Scott Unash finishing his vacation. He'll be back on Monday. Look forward to the band being back together there. Good show for you today. Adam Rittenberg, senior college football writer for ESPN, friend of the show and shows, the station actually. He's been on both our show and the Todd Rommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. He will talk some college football in about 10 minutes or so. I want to bring you up to date on the latest news in sports. Dandy pitching matchup going on right now at Wrigley Field. The Cubs and Pirates getting together. Archer and Darvish both dealing. In the sixth right now, it's 0-0.
About as good as I've ever seen Darvish.
Yeah. It's been very good, yeah. And Archer has been as well. The Cubs had a bit of a threat in the fourth inning. And right now, the Pirates have a runner on first in the sixth. So we'll keep you up to date on that. The rest of the Major League season resumes tonight. Yesterday, the Rangers defeated the Astros as the second part of the season got underway. Just about 60 or so games remaining for Major League Baseball teams. And a lot of eyes on this Pirates-Cubs game because the National League Central is so tight. So tonight the Twins resume their season at Cleveland. Very pivotal series. We're going to join it in progress at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. The Twins holding a 5.5 game lead in the American League Central. And pretty obvious, 3-game series that could be down to 2.5. It could be up to as much as 8.5. So Twins, I think, need to win at least one in this series. But at any rate, it gets underway tonight. We're in the second round of the John Deere Classic over there outside the Quad Cities in Silvis, Illinois. And Zach Johnson with a nice rebound today. Yesterday, he had his first over par round in 10 years at the John Deere Classic. One over par 72. He came back today with a 4 under par 67. Right now he is minus 3 for the tournament and sits squarely on the cut line. It appears he will make it into the weekend, but still a lot of players left out on the course and a lot of maneuvering can be done. So Zach is hopeful of playing in front of essentially his home crowd on the weekend. So Zach really had a lot of opportunities today. He missed a 4-foot birdie putt on number 8, his 17th hole of the day, and then he had to squeeze in a 5-foot par putt on the very difficult 9th hole to finish up his round at 67. So I'll bring you up to date on that cut line as it develops. Your leader right now, Johnny Vegas, 9 under par 62 today. He is 3 clear at 13 under par of Harold Varner III, Russell Henley, and Andrew Landry. So there you have it, Cubs-Pirates, 0-0 in the sixth, and your latest on the John Deere Classic. So later on in the show, we're going to pose kind of a mini-topic question, and that is, what would you... Your favorite team now, college team, your favorite college team, which would you rather have it do? Reach the Final Four in basketball or the college football playoffs? We'll get into that after we talk with Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. But I had to borrow that from Coach Lorsman, former Xavier coach, who former Washington and University of Iowa player. He kind of tweeted something out a few days ago. He had the Rose Bowl or the Final Four, and I thought I'd take it a step further. You know, the Rose Bowl, unless it's in the you know, the playoff rotation isn't, you know, as big as it once was, I don't think. I mean, it's still a big deal, but I just modified it a little bit. We'll get your text on that, 319-366-1600, our Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Feel free to weigh in at any time. Breathing a sigh of relief, the end of the week here, Kyle, or what?
It's been a busy week, but next week is also going to be busy, but exciting. Big Ten Media Days, we've been talking a lot of college football. We're going to do it today, but it's going to pick up very, very heavy next week. So that's exciting. It's not quite an exciting time of year yet, but we're building right towards it, where it kind of gives me butterflies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
The Big 12 Media Day is going on early in the week. I know Iowa State will be in Dallas on Tuesday. Coach Campbell and his players down there. And then later in the week, Todd and Alex will be in Chicago to bring you news from the Big Ten kickoff luncheon. And it should be very interesting. I'm anxious to hear from a lot of the coaches. A lot of optimism. In a lot of camps at this time of year, some false optimism, but some very real. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who really thinks they're going to take a step forward this year. We know what Kirk Ferentz is going to say, right?
Not much.
Do you have the tape from last year?
I think we do.
Okay. You just play that, right?
It should be the same as the year before.
At any rate, looking forward to KGYM bringing you live coverage from Chicago on that. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting second part of the baseball season, to be sure. And we asked you yesterday who's going to win the National League Central. And I think the Cubs prevailed in that poll. But I think you can make an argument for any of the teams in the division. Maybe not Cincinnati. I don't know.
Joe Rivera liked Cincinnati. He thought that so far their record is not indicative of how good they are. And one of the points that he relied on was that their run differential is plus 27, which is, you know, at the time was they were only one of two teams in the division to be positive. The Cardinals are now plus two, so they crawled into there. But the Reds, by the numbers, there can at least be an argument made that, you know, so long as they're only 4.5 games back right now, if they improve off of what they already are, they are right in this race, like it or not.
Did you hear there was another NBA deal?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it set me into a tizzy for like an hour last night. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, let's break it down for a very short period of time here. Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul involved. And draft picks, swap picks involved. And Russell Westbrook was at a comedy show when he heard about it. I mean, I'm sure he was tipped off in some regard,
right?
But he was part of the sponsorship of a comedy show. Much like Nick Nurse. He was at a Prince impersonator in Las Vegas when he heard about the Kawhi Leonard news. What about this deal?
Oh, well, the easier side to tackle, we'll start with Oklahoma City, because Oklahoma City right now is just trying to offload assets. Ever since that Paul George deal and they got that load of picks, that's just the mode that they're in right now. And so for them to be able to get rid of Russell Westbrook and get picks for it, which they did, I think they got 3 or 4, it's a win for them, and they're probably still going to trade Chris Paul again at some point and get, you know, at least one other pick, maybe a young player or two. So Oklahoma City is just, you know, they're going to be an awful team for a year or two, but they're doing a good job of getting value for what they had when they blew it up. Now, on the Houston side of things, though, this only makes sense to me in one way, and that's if you buy into all that we heard about Chris Paul and James Harden not getting along anymore. If the chemistry was really that bad, then I understand why they were trying to kind of force a CP3 trade to get him out of there. And I guess but my whole thing is, like I said, they gave up three or four first-round picks to basically swap. You know, they're not the same player. They're at different times in their career. But Russell Westbrook, like Chris Paul, is ball dominant and wants to run the offense a certain way. And that doesn't really fit with how Harden, you know, already is, because he's the most efficient ISO, you know, scorer in the history of the NBA. And now you've just got another guy who's trying to take the ball out of his hands, and that led to problems with CP3. I don't understand how it's not going to just be the exact same just with Russell Westbrook now. And so to give up all those resources to kind of churn water, it feels to me like Daryl Morey, who's been aggressive in the past and over these last several years, and he's very open about wanting to make big splashy deals. For the first time, I think he officially forced one and just made a big deal to make a big deal. Because I don't see how this actually makes the team all that much better.
Well, there's two first-round draft picks, future first-round draft picks involved, and then there's two swap picks, which you don't know what they're going to be in a few years.
The only reason that you're in the NBA, you're not allowed to trade your own first-round picks in back-to-back years. And so in order to give, you know, giant pick packages, you have to sprinkle in these pick swaps, quote unquote, rather than just straight up trading the pick that year.
The first round picks are in 2024 and 2026. Pick swaps are in 2021 and 2025. So who knows who those players are going to be, where you're going to swap. So that's 7 years down the road, right?
Yeah.
Okay. At any rate, you're going to need a refresher come the time the NBA season opens up to remember who's where.
No kidding.
Who's playing for who.
Yeah.
Whom. But
and like I said, Chris Paul's probably going to get traded again. It might not happen until the trade deadline and somebody's suffered an injury or is competing and they didn't necessarily expect to. But Chris Paul is not long for the Thunder. I guarantee that.
Westbrook and James Harden on the same team.
No. I just don't think the Rockets are trading Chris Paul because they had turmoil between Chris Paul and James Harden. And that turmoil happened because, you know, James Harden has the clout. He has the ability. He deserves the ball as much as he has it. You know, he has it a lot and he deserves it. Whereas CP3 thinks he deserves it a lot. But all he wants to do is take the ball and kind of, he just wants to run the pick and roll. And that doesn't fit. And now it's kind of the same thing with Russell. And so I'm just saying that I don't think this is going to work for the same reason that it hasn't worked for the past couple years.
319-366-1600, our Hertzian and Stalker Jeweler text line, if you'd like to weigh in. Right now we need to step aside for just a second while we bring in Adam Rittenberg of ESPN to talk college football. Stay tuned.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Now it starts at noon, and you just need to call by 11:30 to enter. The entry fee is $30, and there are no green fees. Plus, all entries are returned. Play is on a Stableford format, which gives every golfer a chance to win, regardless of ability. There will be team, individual, and skin winners. The Wednesday game is the best game in town, and it's only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blairs Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
You can come up with an excuse for speeding, why you're late, or a bad golf score, but there's no excuse for missing my summer sale. Hi, Sean Holly with Holly's Shop for Men. And since I only have two sales a year, come in to save 30 to 70% off terrific menswear. Dress shirts to casual short sleeves. Name brands like Bugatti, Cool, Visconti, Enro, and Forsyth all on sale. No excuses. See you soon at Holly's Shop for Men, Lindale Mall.
So you're upgrading a house, planning an incredible master bath, a stunning open concept kitchen, but for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Create something truly inspired with TimberTech. Design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Imagine the possibilities at TimberTech.com. Bring your outdoor living space to life with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn. For real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
The Los Angeles Dodgers at the Boston Red Sox.
Saturday starting at 5:30 and Sunday at 5 on the Gym. 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Welcome back, 318 on today's edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. And thanks to Third Base Brewery on Blair's Ferry Road, sponsor of the Gym Class. Just like KGYM, Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. Thanks once again to Third Base Brewery. And we'd like to also thank Adam Rittenberg, senior writer of college football for ESPN, for joining us once again on the show. Good afternoon, Adam.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Big week coming up. It has, I don't know if anybody's started with Media Days, but Big 12, Big 10 next week. And how are you following it all, Adam?
Well, I'll be at both of those events. Yeah, those are the two league events I'll be at. Pretty much, I think, four of the five Power Five conferences have media days all next week. So it'll certainly be a busy week of cliches and hopefully a little bit of news in college football, whether it's the Big 12, the SEC, which has its four-day event beginning Monday, the ACC in the middle of the week, and certainly the Big 10 at the end of the week. So it's a fun time of year to get around these guys. You know, college football practices are starting soon. And then certainly the season's not too far away. So for a sport that has a lot of off-season and not very much season, it's good to know that it's coming soon.
It's optimism season, that's for sure. You'll hear that from every coach, I'm quite sure of that. But Adam, I want to kind of start out with, I know you and your colleagues are following this, even though it's kind of in its infancy, and that's the bill in the California legislature, Fair Pay to Play Act. It was introduced in February, and it's kind of gotten through a couple hurdles. It's a long way from being law, but tell us what this is.
Well, again, it's another step, I think, towards trying to compensate college athletes at a higher level. I think there's certainly momentum for this, really everywhere outside of the actual schools, where they're continuing to want that true collegiate model, that true amateur model. But it's even being discussed at the NCAA level that college athletes should be able to profit from his or her name, image, and likeness. And California has tried to take that a little bit further in their state assembly, voting unanimously to move this bill forward. And amid some threats from the NCAA to prohibit teams from California from participating in NCAA championships if they start to allow this. But I do think we're going to head nationally towards an approval of some sort of athletes to start using their name and image to profit. And I know there are probably some hurdles there, but I think there's more headaches if the NCAA continues to push back against this. But in California, it's definitely getting support. In their state government, among a number of legislators, and I think the NCAA's attempts to try to stifle it have not been very successful so far.
Yeah, Adam, I've always held the belief that I don't believe scholarship athletes should get any more extra benefits. I mean, they're even though they put in a ton of time, and the schools are reap profits. I mean, they get a hell of a package as well. But now I'm coming around on at least being able to capitalize on your own name.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how many athletes would be able to do that? I think you guys are actually a great test case there in Iowa because there aren't any pro sports. When there is a star player at University of Iowa or Iowa State, I think they would have the ability to, get a little bit of, maybe more than a little bit of money off of who they are. I think back to, Brad Banks in 2002 or some of the other great players at Iowa or Iowa State, could they actually profit from this? But it's not going to be a large number of players, especially those in markets that have, pro sports. I don't know how far that's going to go, but at least allow them to try to do that. And I know there's some hurdles involved, but when I think about if you're going to go that route or go to a larger, a paying model for college athletes, there's so much more that goes into that, collective bargaining and unionization in some cases. I think it's a lot more complicated. What do you do about Title IX? If you're just telling each athlete, listen, you can go profit from who you are as a college athlete, whether you can or you can't, and then the school is sort of out of it in that way, I don't think there's a whole lot wrong with that.
Yeah, in another sport, in Iowa here, Megan Gustafson, college women's basketball player of the year, yeah. She's adored here, and say she gets $5-$10 an autograph. What the heck?
Right, yeah. I mean, and again, that's, it's happening as soon as they're done as college athletes. Why not allow them? Mm-hmm. And it might create a little bit of angst on a team, but, that's just the way it goes. There's always going to be star players on a team, whether, they're getting paid, quote, above board or under the table. It's going to happen. It has happened in college athletics for many years. And, yeah, I mean, I think in many ways, Iowa, places like Oklahoma, what could Tua Tagovailoa get at Alabama?
Yeah,
Tagovailoa or Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. I think it would just be really interesting to see how it would go. But it would get around the whole, having to compensate every single player on the team, even when they're not bringing a whole lot of value, or compensating every athlete in the department when most programs lose money. That, to me, is a very difficult position, I think, for a lot of these schools to be in.
Adam, let's talk transfers and the NCAA changing its posture a tad on transfers and making athletic directors, submit letters as to the reason of players leaving. And, Iowa is awaiting word on Oliver Martin, transfer from Michigan. If he isn't granted a year here, he's going to lose one. So what is the state of transfers these days?
Well, it's certainly a topic that's getting a lot of attention and is being discussed. And I think the recent changes to the waiver policy are really meant to get the original school more involved and in some cases make it more difficult for a player to transfer because, now if you have one of those reasons, like four reasons, four categories, I should say, that you're applying for your waiver, you have to have your original athletic director essentially sign off on that. So they have to say, listen, Mark, we didn't have a spot for Mark on the team anymore. Mark didn't really have a future here on the field. Or, Mark suffered abuse from one of our staff members, and that's why you should grant him a waiver. Or Mark needs to be closer to an ailing family member, and this move will allow him to do that. So it definitely adds another layer to the process. I do think we're in a really interesting place right now because of, I think most people out there see the benefits to giving these guys maybe one opportunity to transfer without penalty,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're in good academic standing. But then you talk to schools and ADs and commissioners, and they have a different position. Certainly coaches have a different position. I mean, I've been on the phone all week with a parent of a player who's trying to get immediate eligibility at a school, and his son was in great academic standing and actually was in better academic position at the new school because of degree programs. That's when I really struggle to see why certain players have to sit out. I think if you are early in your college career and circumstances change, coaches change, a transfer comes in at your position, as long as you are in good academic standing and that the both schools believe that you're not going to be hampered academically by transferring to a new school, I don't see the harm in allowing that player to compete right away. Because the main argument coaches make, whether it's sincere or not, I do think the facts back it up, that oftentimes, or at least on the whole, when athletes transfer, their chances of graduating go down. But I think if each individual case can be evaluated and say, you know what, if Mark transfers from Iowa to Iowa State, we'll say that, we don't think his chances of graduating are going to go down for these reasons, then I think that person should get a waiver, should be able to compete right away. And I do think in the next 5 years, guys, I think we're going to see a across-the-board one-time exception in football, just like there is in all but five of the NCAA sports.
I would endorse that wholeheartedly. Adam Rittenberg, senior writer, college football for ESPN, joining us on today's edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you. Let's talk Big Ten and then specifically the West. Adam, I've heard comments all over the board. Maybe Minnesota is the sleeper in this division. Wisconsin's probably going to fall back a little bit. Maybe Nebraska takes another step. There's always Iowa, and there's always Northwestern. How do you look at that division?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm a little surprised. I'm not saying you're alleging this, but a lot of people are kind of assuming that Wisconsin is going to, they had an eight-win season last year, and that was a down year. No doubt. By their own standards, that's a down year. But if you look at Wisconsin, in the last, 12 years, 13 years or so, you look at them from 2006 until now, 2005 even, 10 wins, 12 wins, 9 wins, one year of 7 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins, 11 wins, 8, 9, 11, 10, 13 one year, a couple of years ago, where they went 13-1, a couple of other 10. So it's like, everyone's kind of assuming Wisconsin's going to go down. I don't really know why. I understand that there are some concerns about this year's team. Defensively, they weren't as good last year. Their offensive line was a little bit disappointing. They certainly need to get better at the quarterback position. But history shows that this is still Wisconsin's division to lose. And with all the hype around Nebraska, and I understand it, with Scott Frost and the things he's doing, and Adrian Martinez is maybe the best quarterback in the Big Ten and one of the best in the country, just a sophomore. But, this is a Nebraska team that still went 4-8 last year, that still has only won this division once since or entering the Big Ten back in 2011. So I think we need to pump the brakes a little bit. I would still put Wisconsin up there as one of the teams to beat. I think Iowa will be strong again with a third-year starting quarterback. I think Northwestern had some challenges after losing a four-year starting quarterback, but it's not as though they won the division based on their offense. So their offense certainly has room to improve, and they could improve this year. So I think it's going to be a really competitive division. Minnesota, as you mentioned, they finished the year strong. They have a nice young team. I think PJ Flex upgraded the talent level there. I think Purdue has a team that can put up points and is recruiting at a much higher level under Jeff Brohm. So I think Illinois will be better too, but someone's got to get worse, I think, for them to really improve record-wise. And so that's going to be an uphill climb for them. But I think as far as top-to-bottom depth, the Big Ten West, which wasn't the case recently, but now I think is one of the deeper leagues in the country, or divisions in the country.
Especially by the end of the season last year, you could see a lot of glimpses of what Nebraska could eventually be. And it sounds like you think highly of Adrian Martinez, and you just know it's only a matter of time for Scott Frost's program. Is this the year that they're going to take off?
Well, take off, I think they're not going to be 4-8 again. I think they could certainly flip their record to 8-4. I think the question is, will they be better than that? Will they be a 10-2 team that maybe wins the division in year two under Frost? I think that's going to be tough. I think there's a lot of games that I look at as still toss-ups on the Nebraska schedule right now. Can they get over the hump against Wisconsin? That's a big one. How are they going to fare against the Iowas and Northwesterns? I think defensively, still personnel-wise, they're not where they're going to be in the future. I think that it's very clear now that, as much as maybe Bo Pelini didn't meet expectations of the fan base on a regular basis there, from a talent standpoint, his defenses were much more talented than the ones that we've seen at Nebraska recently. So I think it's just a hard formula in the Big Ten, especially with the weather, to expect to win primarily on your quarterback and your offense every game. I mean, you have to have a complementary defense. And I don't know if Nebraska is quite going to have that this year. So, yeah, could they win the division? Sure. I don't think they will. I think it's going to be somebody else. But like you said, it's not going to be long before Nebraska is back in the Big Ten championship game. And that's what we all thought. I mean, remember the excitement, guys, when they entered the league? That, you know, they were supposed to be the team, especially the way that the divisions were going to be aligned or realigned, that would challenge Ohio State and would challenge Michigan and Penn State on the other side. And they haven't really done that because they've only been to the Big Ten championship game once. It obviously did not go well against Wisconsin back in 2012. And so I think they're going to be back there in the relatively near future.
In the Big 12, Adam, and you'll be there in Dallas to take that event in. Expectations are different in Ames these days. Iowa State picked to finish third behind Oklahoma and Texas, by the media anyway. Media knows everything, right, Adam? But that's pretty lofty expectations in Ames. Are they justified?
You know, it's fascinating to see. I certainly looked at Iowa State as a team that could be maybe right there behind Texas and Oklahoma, or Oklahoma and Texas, I should say, in the pecking order. But I'm surprised that so many others in the media agreed. I think I had Iowa State at number four behind TCU in my Big 12 preseason ballot. But I can see it. You know, this is a team that, has played really well at times the last couple of years, has some big, big wins on its resume when you think about Oklahoma and TCU a couple of years ago, and then certainly Alabama and Clemson going in, rightfully so, along with teams like Georgia. I think Oregon is at a really interesting point. You know, Oregon has a guy in Justin Herbert at quarterback that many believe will be the first quarterback drafted next year in the NFL. You know, he surprisingly stayed for his senior year, and they have what's turning out to be, I think, the best offensive line in the Pac-12. Mario Cristobal has done a great job with that group. Defensively, they should be getting better and better. I like their new coordinator and Andy Avalos. They've recruited well on that side of the ball. But can they break through? I think we're going to find out a lot about Oregon in week one against Auburn. You know, Auburn's a team that's picked anywhere from maybe second to fourth in the SEC West. But if they can't beat Auburn, how are they going to really make a push? So that's an interesting team to watch. I think both Michigan and Texas, these are two mega brands in athletics, not just in college sports, but in athletics, but neither of them has made the college football playoff yet. And so can one of them do that this year? Michigan hasn't even made the Big Ten championship game, and yet I think on paper they're the strongest team in the conference entering the year. And Texas, had a nice little push at the end of last year getting to the Big 12 championship game. They didn't win that game, but then they went and won the Sugar Bowl against Georgia. So I think there's a lot of excitement around the University of Texas, and now can they take that next step and really make a push for the playoff? That's going to be fascinating. So it's not, again, most years, and this one's like that too, there's not a lot of teams that have a realistic chance to make the college football playoff, but I would put Michigan and Texas in that category. And another team that I'm interested to see, can they follow it up again, is Notre Dame. The last time we saw them, they were losing their only game of the year in definitive fashion to Clemson in the college football playoff semifinal. But I like their team coming back if they can stay healthy, especially at the quarterback position with Ian Book, and they can play well on the road. Notre Dame's home schedule, guys, is very manageable, but they have to go to Georgia, to Michigan, and that game is actually in late October this year, and then to Stanford, a place where Brian Kelly's had a lot of trouble with Notre Dame's coach. So I think their fate will be determined on how they play away from South Bend.
We've touched on a lot of good teams in this conversation already, but I still feel like there's an underlying truth that all signs point to this just being another Bama-Clemson championship. Do you think anybody is good enough to rival those teams?
Well, I think Bama showed some vulnerabilities at the end of last year. Even though they only lost a game to Clemson in the national title game, and it was a definitive loss, I think teams exposed some issues with them on defense. If you think about what Georgia did in the SEC championship game, certainly what Oklahoma did, even though that game was pretty much decided early on, but Kyler Murray and company showed some issues on Alabama's defense in the college football playoff semifinal. And then we saw what Trevor Lawrence and his group did to the Tide in the national title game. So you look at their defense, and they're obviously talented, and Nick Saban is a defensive-oriented coach, but I think that that group has to answer a little bit of concern going in. And then Tua Tagovailoa, I think, had some issues as well towards the end of the year. And even though he's going to be a Heisman Trophy contender once again and should be, I think there's some teams that can challenge Alabama. Certainly Georgia has been right there. Certainly could have beaten Alabama each of their last two meetings. You look at LSU, I really like this LSU team. I like A&M. I like Auburn, elements of Auburn and A&M and LSU, but do they have enough to take down Alabama? And Clemson's going to be a much easier path, guys. If Clemson is not in the college football playoff or in the national championship game again, I think it will be a disappointment because their path seems to be so much easier. You know, they have they have two tough out-of-conference games against the SEC, but they're both, you know, Texas A&M and South Carolina are not nearly as talented as this Clemson team, especially with A&M having to come to Death Valley and play Clemson in week two. So I think things line up really nicely for Clemson, the defending champions, to get back to the playoff. I think Alabama's road could be a little bit tougher, but I think they'll be almost consensus picks to at least be part of the playoff, if not one of them winning the national championship again.
You mentioned Tua's certainly going to contend in the Heisman race, but it feels like things are set up for Trevor Lawrence to be the winner of that at the end of the year. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot can happen between now and then, but I think there's more momentum around Trevor Lawrence. I was talking recently to a coach in the SEC and basically said which one is better, and the coach said, listen, I love Tua, but it's not close in the long run. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence because, you know, he's that quarterback that maybe only comes around once every, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 years, that Peyton Manning type that can make all the throws. He's so young, but he's already so evolved in his game. So I think there's certainly high expectations around both of them. One thing to keep in mind is that, you know, the way Alabama's offense was for much of last year, you know, Tua was putting up these insane numbers. You know, Trevor Lawrence wasn't quite there, and Trevor Lawrence has a great back next to him in Travis Etienne. So yeah, I think they're going to throw the ball around, and he'll have some numbers. But I don't know how many competitive games he's going to be in, whereas I think Tua, you know, he's going to face LSU. He's going to face, a really good Auburn defensive front. So I think those performances could help propel him in the end of the season if Trevor Lawrence is, you know, beating up on bad teams and not really being challenged a whole lot.
All right, Adam, we're going to let you go. I'll let you tune in and see if the Cubs can scratch out a run here at Wrigley, okay?
You guys impressed me with the last question, Mark. It's not much fun watching this team. I did not miss them over the All-Star.
Adam, thanks as always for your time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Adam Renberg, senior college football writer for ESPN, joining us on the Gym Class, as he does frequently, either here or the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Yes, it's 0-0 still at Wrigley Field, bottom of the seventh inning, Cubs coming to bat. So we'll bring you up to date on that. And the John Deere Classic, the cut right now is at -3 where Zach Johnson resides, but it's getting ever closer to -4. So Zach may rue that missed 4-foot birdie putt on the eighth hole late in his round this morning. When we come back, we're going to talk and engage you in a discussion that I think is very interesting. More after this.
You want to sit in your cubicle for an hour and pretend to be happy? Come on! Swivel your sad excuse for a swivel chair over to B-Dubs and enjoy a real happy hour. Get deals like $2 Bud Light and Coors Light drafts, $3 select premium shots, $5 loaded nachos, and all the games you can watch. So get here and get happy. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
At participating locations, dine-in only. Hours and availability may vary by location. Other limitations may apply where required by law. Must be 21 or older. Void where prohibited.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game when you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Why wait for Black Friday in November when Dell's Black Friday in July is on right now, and it's our biggest one ever? Score incredible deals, including up to $400 off the very latest Dell and Alienware computers, including laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, get free shipping on everything. And don't miss out on an amazing selection of electronics and accessories like Bose headphones. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or visit Dell.com/Black Friday. That's 800-BUY-DELL for massive deals today.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The All-Star break is now over, and the second half begins with a compelling series here on Friday. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Twins and the Indians open up the second half tonight around your home for Twins baseball.
Starting at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back to the Gym Class on this Friday, July the 12th, 3:45, sunny day here in eastern Iowa. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you for the next 10, 12, 15 minutes or so. We want to make you aware of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which team got the better end of the Westbrook-Paul trade, Oklahoma City or Houston? Go ahead and weigh in. And Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
We got a text from 3706 regarding a topic that came up a little bit earlier about the idea of what California is doing to try to allow schools, things to be opened up for players to benefit off their likeness. And 3706 texts in with exactly my concern. As I listen to Adam Rittenberg kind of go down the line of where we could head if, you know, certain players, you know, he used the example of here in Iowa, like a Brad Banks. If things get wide open, like was kind of outlined, 3706 points out that at places like Alabama, all of a sudden, you'll get $1 million for one autograph from some booster. And that's kind of a little bit my concern, because of course I'm totally on board. I want players to be able to benefit off their likeness, but I think the fact that Adam uses a place, quote unquote, a place like Iowa, that insinuates that, you know, it's true that certain places would have more, you know, profit potential for recruits. And so who's to say Alabama doesn't say, hey, we got this booster, right? You're only three stars, but we really like you, and we'd rather you come here than go to Iowa. And even just for putting your name, you know, on the scholarship, I don't know how it works, but making the scholarship official, coming here, one of our boosters is going to hook you up with $100,000 or $1 million, God forbid. And then all of a sudden, I think you've got a competitive balance problem again, because all the best players are just going to end up going to the place that can give them the most money.
Think that hasn't happened already?
No, it is happening. But to me, like, the idea behind these rule changes is sort of to kind of right the ship, not just to completely just be like, okay, we're just going to let everything happen. I think there needs to be some sort of balance that comes with it.
Cubs have taken a 1-0 lead over the Pirates, bottom of the seventh inning on a Chris Bryant home run. And, Yu Darvish is out of the game after a scoreless outing on the hill. Very good outing for him. Kyle answering the phone right now. We're going to talk about a mini discussion topic, but we want to Joel and Muscatine eagerly waiting to weigh in on what we have going on here in terms of discussion. So let's bring in Joel right now. Afternoon, Joel.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Very good, very good.
I think that the text that was bringing up the exorbitant price for an autograph from a booster, I think is a good point. I think the thing that changes it, though, is you've got to that the taxation part of this is all clearly stated to these players. Because this all has to be above board. So if they're getting a $1 million, a booster gift, if you will, for an autograph or payment, one, that booster's got to declare that on their, on their taxes. But it's not a charitable gift, so they don't have to declare it. But the kids have to be claiming this as income, and they're gonna actually be paying income taxes. And if it is significant, that could get really dangerous for these kids because they're making this money as like a 1099 contractor, and they've got to pay that at the end of the year. And if they don't, you're exposing these kids, if they're not educated properly or if it's not handled properly through university channels, to felonies. I mean, it really could be a big deal. And those gifts are already happening. If this will just bring it up above board, I'm all for it. I mean, a kid in the marching band, I've said this many times, can go play a concert, at a bar in Cedar, or even go on tour with a big band and get paid for their work and get paid for their likeness and sell a CD. College athletes should be able to do the same, in my opinion. I've changed over the last 5 years on that, by the way. It makes sense. We just have to make sure these athletes aren't exposed, not they're educated on how to do all that. Income to some of these athletes.
Appreciate it, Joel. Great points there. You're kind of cutting up. We got the gist of it. That's for sure.
I thought that's a really good point. Some of these players are going to be introduced to a whole lot of income potentially. Just imagine, take a guy like Trevor Lawrence. Rittenberg just told us he's viewed as a generational type quarterback. If he was coming through again, coming out of high school with this sort of like wide open landscape that we're talking about, he could have been introduced to a whole lot of money. And I think what Joel brings up is totally true. You're going to have to deal with a lot of financial stuff that players right now, don't even have to think about. And, the last thing, everybody right now is just trying to help the players make their money. And the last thing that anybody would want is for them to end up, in legal trouble because they didn't know how to handle all the money they just got.
I think the key point of what Joel had to say was short of, allowing these kids to have agents while they're in college, at least have a financial advisor of some kind available because it could get really sticky if, professional athletes hire agents who end up being scoundrels. So it could very well happen. I think we're talking the high end of what players could command.
Oh yeah,
for sure. But it's not out of the realm at all. So I think excellent points there. We need to take one more break, and we'll be back to put a bow on today's show.
The weather's heating up, and at AutoZone, we have the Duralast batteries you can rely on to drive with confidence. They're proven tough, even in the most extreme conditions. That's because they're designed to improve performance and provide your ride with a powerful startup, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need it most. And they're available only at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. no contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Need to get organized? Today is the day for doing with the Home Depot's Pack Store Save event. Put your basement or garage in order with a range of Husky welded steel shelves, including a four-tier 77-inch rack, just $169. That'll save you $30. Easy to assemble. Each shelf has a lifetime warranty and holds up to 1,500 pounds. That gets a lot out of your way. Come into the Pack Store Save event, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid until August 25th while supplies last.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Los Angeles Dodgers at the Boston Red Sox.
Saturday starting at 5:30 and Sunday at 5 on the Gym. 106.3 FM, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Welcome back, 3:54. On the Friday edition of the Gym Class, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unash returning on Monday from his vacation. Following us, 3 hours of the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Plenty of good guests, including Tom Flash Gordon, who's a principal player and recruiter in what is a perfect game celebrity softball all-star game. Maybe not an all-star game, but perfect game celebrity softball. At Veterans Memorial Stadium, July 27th. We heard about it from Jennifer Ford the other day on the Todd Bromekamp Show. Just a tremendous lineup of players and celebrities, including Bo Jackson. So I'm sure Tom Gordon will have plenty of good stories about he and his terrific son on the Todd Bromekamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Cubs trying to blow this game open. It's 2-0 now in the seventh inning, one out. Cubs with runners on first and third against the Pirates. And at the John Deere Classic in Silvis, Illinois, Zach Johnson with a 67 today to get in at 3 under par for the tournament. But right now he is on the cut line right now, but that is very perilous as that cut line looks like it might move to -4 real quickly. So that would be unfortunate for Zach. Tonight, 7 p.m., joined in progress, the Twins and Indians, 107.5 FM. And again, our poll question has to do with the Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul trade. Who got the better end of that deal, Oklahoma City or Houston? Do you have an opinion there?
Not so much.
You don't think Westbrook and Harden are going to work?
No. I don't know. As I said earlier, Houston is in this position having to offload one of its best players because their previous two best players didn't get along. And the reason for that was their on-court styles didn't match. And Russell and Chris Paul are different players at different stages in their career, but are similar player. They have similar play styles in that they need the ball and are therefore taking it away from James Harden. And so, no, I foresee the Rockets running into a lot of the same problems that they did with the Chris Paul and James Harden pairing. And I would even go so far as to say it might even be worse because, you know, Chris Paul kind of quietly has a reputation as like a jerk and a hard guy to work with, but Russell Westbrook also loudly has a reputation as a guy who can be kind of hard to work with. So it just does not look like it's going to work to me, and I don't understand why Houston would do it. For Oklahoma City, they're extremely lucky that the Rockets were just handing out first-round picks because they're so desperate to make some move that would grab headlines, but I think Daryl Morey overreached on this one.
We're going to shelve our mini discussion topic for another day, perhaps next week. But that's always nice to have something in the bank, I guess. So I'd like to thank Adam Rittenberg once again, the senior writer for college football for ESPN, for joining us on the show. Plenty of great guests lined up for next week. Kyle, thank you very much for joining me this week.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Talk to you Monday.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now